Amen. We are excited about what the Lord is allowing us to do in the Dominican. I tell you, it's just exciting being in on what the Lord's doing no matter where you're at. I have enjoyed the time today, the fellowship, and getting to know many people here at the church, and just seeing what the Lord is doing in your midst. I enjoyed visiting with Pastor Grant and just being able to visit with him and share with him a little bit. And it's exciting to know that no matter where we're at, the Lord is at work. And the Lord's at work in our trials. We talked about that a little bit this morning. The Lord's so big and so great that He's at work here in the Dominican. There in the Dominican where Pastor Leatherman's at, He's working here. And He's work all over the world at the same time. He's at work in each of our hearts, no matter what your situation is, no matter what your issue that you're dealing with, no matter what, God is working in all of our hearts according to our need at the same time. That's awesome. That's a great thing to realize, that we have a big God that does that. And I am glad that the Lord cares. You know, He is not just someone who's in control and pushing buttons and turning knobs and controlling everything without concern or interest, but to know that God cares about us as a person. The Bible tells us that He feels our pain, He understands our pain, and He understands our weaknesses, and He tries to help us, and He tries to strengthen us. And you know, when we turn to Him and allow Him to work in our lives, it's a great thing. I want to share something with you tonight. It's kind of geared missions thought that I would like to share with you tonight. And it's something that was a blessing to me, has been an encouragement. I've shared it a number of times, but I felt led to share it with you tonight. Out of the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter number 1, we'll read from verse number 4 through verse number 10. As we look at this passage, many, many preachers today that I've talked with, and many men that have been called to serve the Lord in full-time capacity, and missionaries or pastors, have said that this passage the Lord used in their hearts and in their minds for them to realize that God was trying to call them. And tonight, you may say, well, we're here tonight, and I've living my life. I'm serving the Lord here, and I'm doing these things. But I wonder if we were here tonight, and we were just to honestly answer from our hearts, say, what do you think it would take for God to raise up a missionary? Do you think God could raise up a missionary tonight, here at Mountain Lake Independent Baptist Church? You think God is capable of doing that? I think if we ask that question, we definitely have some things. Well, God would have to put these things in line, or God would have to deal with so-and-so. And maybe we're thinking of someone else. You know, God would have to get them ready. And it's kind of like the pastor that or the missionary that once said, you know, I began praying that the Lord would send forth laborers into His harvest. And He did. He sent them forth. He sent me forth. You know, as you're praying that the Lord, you need to send someone. And the Lord says, okay, you're good. Why don't you go? And as we approach that, you know, a lot of people have fear of serving the Lord, or fear of going into a foreign country, or fear of committing to serving the Lord with their life. But I can tell you, it's no sacrifice giving something that you can't keep anyway to receive the blessings that God has in store for those that serve Him. It's no sacrifice. And it's a great blessing to be able to serve, be a servant of the Almighty God, to be a servant of God. And I know that God doesn't call everybody. I know that God has people that are faithfully serving them here. But I also know that there's many today that, just as Jonah ran from God's call, that don't want God to send them to Nineveh, that don't want God to use them in a different area than where they're at. And, you know, I think that there's some things that we need to look at. And this is just 4 points. And maybe the Lord isn't calling anybody to missions here tonight. But I think this is a question that we all need to ponder. If God is calling me, am I willing to go? If God is working in me, am I willing to commit to what God has? Maybe it's God wants to someone else to be involved in a bus route or a Sunday school class or whatever. But as we can apply it in that nature. But I want to focus tonight. What would, I mean, this is the most dramatic. This is the most extreme. I say God would call you as a missionary. That's kind of the limit of, you know, what we think of as extreme. What would it take for God to do that? Tonight, here in our midst. Maybe you're thinking about the football game tonight. Dallas isn't playing, so it doesn't matter, right? No, I don't want to get you distracted with that. But I hope that you're here to listen to God tonight. And I pray that you'll be able to focus with me on the Word of God tonight. And, you know, be able to hear what God has to share with us tonight. Let's read these verses, and then we'll ask the Lord's blessing as we turn to His Word. Jeremiah chapter number 1, verse number 4 through 10. The Bible tells us, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, but I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee, to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant." As we look at this passage, there's some very important things that Jeremiah, that the Lord was doing here in Jeremiah's life, that Jeremiah saw what God was doing. This was actually a testimony. You know, Jeremiah is writing the book of Jeremiah, and this was a testimony of him giving the account of what God had done in his life. You know, God raised him up, and God used him in a special way, and that's what God wants to do in our lives. You know, maybe God is calling that one or two or three or whatever, a missionary. But you know, there may be some other that God is trying to raise up to be a faithful father, a faithful mother, a faithful parent of raising our children, a faithful Sunday school teacher, a faithful bus worker, whatever that is. God has a mission. God has a task that we're all to do as Christians, as ambassadors for Christ here in this world, because we're not from here. We're strangers. We're pilgrims. And we're representing Christ here on this earth. And God has a special task, and God is calling us. But there are some that God has called to missions that sometimes we place on another pedestal or another area that we consider many times the extreme of what we could do or what we would do for God. And we think that, oh, God couldn't do that, or oh, I don't want God to do that, or whatever our mindset could be on that matter. But let's look to God's Word. Let's look at what God did in the life of one man, how that God called him and used him to reach out and reach a nation for His honor and for His glory. Let's ask the Lord's blessing and help at this time. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your love. Thank You for Your Word. Lord, I'm not worthy of preaching Your Word. Lord, I'm not worthy of being a beacon or someone to proclaim Your Word, but Lord, I thank You that Your mercy and Your grace allows even sinners, Lord, to be used by You. And Lord, I pray that You would touch me and help me tonight. Lord, I want Your Word to impact lives. I want my life to be changed. Lord, I desire that I might be that missionary, that messenger, that servant, Lord, that You've sent to change a nation, to reach a people. And Lord, I pray that You would help me to see the things that Jeremiah saw, Lord, that my life might be different. And Lord, for the ones that are here tonight, Lord, if You would call a missionary, Lord, if You would raise up future servants for You, Lord, I pray that You would just burden and touch each heart according to our need, according to your will, Lord. We'll thank you and praise you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This passage in Jeremiah, when we look at who Jeremiah was a prophet in Judah. He was a prophet during years of captivity. He really didn't have all the commodities that we would imagine, but he lived a very harsh life in service for the Lord. But when we look at what it would take for God to raise up in that environment, in that time of history, in hardship, when things were difficult, what did it take for Jeremiah to answer that call? What did it take for God to raise up a servant in that time? The very first thing that Jeremiah really brings out when he says, "The word of the Lord came to me," he starts talking about the providence of God in his life. He starts talking about how God was working in him. And I believe that for each and every one of us as Christians, we need to understand that God is at work in our life. There are times when we think, "Oh, you know, I'm struggling. I'm frustrated. The things aren't panning out the way I like. Things just aren't working. I'm having these difficulties, these trials," and we need to understand that though we may struggle, though we may be frustrated, though we may, things not, might not be working out according to our plans, God is still at work. And God is still in control. And when we sometimes realize that our plans are sometimes not the same plans as what God plans. When I was a young person, I shared a little bit of my testimony, but I really wanted to do something for God. As a sixth grader, I felt the Lord touching my heart that I would go and do something for God. That God had given me so much that I ought to use what I have to serve God. As I got into junior high and high school, I started planning of what I wanted to do for God. And I did that because of some things that I like to do. I loved playing football. I was in a Christian school. Our Christian school had 11-man full contact football, and I loved it. I loved it. We weren't a big school, and I wasn't some football star, but I just loved playing football. I had it in my heart. I wanted to be in the middle of it. I had the opportunity of being fullback on offense and middle linebacker on defense. I was right in the middle where everybody's hitting and knocking heads, and I loved it. I loved playing football. I thought, "Lord, I can use this, and this is what I want to do. And this, I can use this for you. I can be a football coach in a Christian school, and I can teach Bible, and I can train young men to serve you." And I had it all planned out of what I could do for God. You know, I don't think it was a sinful, prideful thing. I don't think it was something that I was trying to do against God. But I had to come to a point in my life where I said, "Lord, I'm willing..." And that took me years as a young person of hearing preaching and hearing the Word of God. It took me years to finally say, "Lord, I just don't have the peace, and I'm tired of fighting against you. And Lord, if you have something else for me, I'm willing to do that." And as a senior in high school, the Lord called me to be a missionary, and I surrendered. I surrendered my will, what I wanted to do for God, to what God wanted me to do for Him. And many times, those are two different things. And I'm not saying for everybody that's the case, but for me, it was two totally different things. And God wanted me to surrender what I had, what I wanted, for what He wanted. And when I saw God's providential hand in my life, it made the difference. When I saw God was working and preparing and had brought me through some circumstances and brought me through some things in my life that helped me to understand that when I saw that God was working and preparing me for that, it helped me to be able to say, "Yes, Lord, okay, I'll do it." We need to see God's hand. When they ask for testimonies tonight, we do that a lot of times on Sunday night in our church there in the Dominican. We have a time for testimonies. And just as he said, you know, God has done so much. A lot of times we don't even think about God doing things. God has protected you from things that you don't even know. God has blessed you in ways that you haven't even seen this past week. And many times God blesses us and we didn't even notice it. And we don't pay attention and we don't even give Him thanks because we're not paying attention and realizing that God is at work in our life. You know, young people, it's a sad thing for young people to grow up in a Christian home and not realize the blessing that it is to have Christian parents. Christian parents bringing them up in church, bringing them to an environment where they can hear God's Word. You know what? You say, well, you don't know my parents. Well, there's no perfect parents. My parents weren't perfect. I'm far from a perfect parent. You can ask my kids. But, you have a great blessing in having Christian parents. Parents that desire God's will for your life, that want you to serve God. I thank the Lord. When I was born in a Christian home, but my parents, when I was 5 or 6 years old, my parents got divorced. And they separated, and we were able to stay with my dad. There's 4 of us. I'm the youngest of 4. And my dad, through that, was able to keep us in church. My mom kind of went her own way and did her own thing, and we would visit her in that. And I thank the Lord for her. We were able to kind of establish more of a relationship as the years went on. But my dad kept us in church, kept us in a Christian school. And one thing I can tell you is Dad was very supportive of the authority in church and the authority in the Christian school. And he was a person that said, hey, well, if you get in trouble at school and you come home and you have a note from your teacher or you have a note on your report card or if you got in trouble for this or that, buddy, I got in big trouble when I got home. You know, today it's kids come home and they tell their parents, they're not being fair and they did this to me at work, at school and this and that, and start whining and complaining. And their mommy and daddy run and get on to the teachers and the principal for making them do their work or making them do what's right. I'm not talking about there's certain situations where there's wrong, but in the majority of the cases, we have parents that are running and attacking the authority for trying to teach our kids to do right. You know, all kids are kids. All kids are sinners. And, you know, I needed a dad that would be supportive of that and keep us doing right and support authority and so that we would learn to obey and submit to authority. You know, had I never learned to submit to authority, I don't think I would have ever learned to submit to God's authority in my life. You know, many times we get so proud and so much self-esteem that we don't want to submit to God or we don't want to submit to God's Word. And that's where we get into danger. That's where we get. And let me tell you, young people, you have a great blessing to have parents that will guide you and lead you in that type of path. And, you know, we have got such blessing for us. God is working in our lives and God is helping us. The Lord begins to work in us. He works from the inside out. The Bible tells us in Psalms chapter number 25, verse number 6, how that the Lord, according to His mercy and loving kindness, He works in us. Psalms 25, verse number 6. The Bible says, remember, O Lord, Thy tender mercies and Thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. As we talked about that this morning, how big God's mercy and His loving kindness is. This is something that's been of old. It's been like that, and God hasn't changed, and He just keeps on being loving and kind and merciful to us. And you know, God works in us and His providential hand molds and makes us and helps us. But we need to realize that God's working in our heart. We need to hear God. You know, a lot of times today we're so connected that we're disconnected. We're connected to Facebook. We're connected to the internet. We're connected to our music. And we've got our headphones in. But we can't hear anything that God's trying to say because the volume of our life and our own plans and our own desires are so loud. We can't hear what God is trying to say. I saw this commercial of some sports guy. I'm assuming it was basketball or whatever. He had these earphones that keep the sound out. You know, you can totally be isolated so you can't hear anything. You won't get distracted by anything. You just hear your music and what you want to hear. You know, I wonder how many times we have those type of headphones on that we don't hear anything we don't want to hear. All we hear is what we have turned on. And you say, well, I don't know. God's not speaking to me. I wonder why. And many times I think that that's how it is in our lives, that we've made up our mind. We've decided what we want. We've decided what we're going to do. And it really doesn't matter what God says. We're going to do what we want to do for God. And that's a dangerous place to be in. It's a dangerous place to be in if you truly want God's blessing on your life. And, you know, I have seen God bless people and I've seen God use people. And that's what I desire. I want God to bless my family. I want God to bless my children. I want to see God work in me. And I fear that if I would ever get to a day where I would think, well, this is what I am. This is who I am. And I've made it and I've arrived and I'm the Christian that I ought to be, the missionary, the preacher. And you know what? I got to keep working and keep on my face before God and before His Word, that God might continue to work and help and mold me and make me into what I need to be. I need that. Jeremiah understood that God providentially did things in his life, that from the very womb, before he was ever born, that God was working those things in his life so that he might be a prophet, a servant of God. Have you even considered that God might have prepared you specially with certain things so that you might serve him? Maybe as a missionary. You know, many times we don't consider that. But God is still calling. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But how shall they hear without a preacher? If they don't have a preacher, and I'm not just exclusively talking about the masculine. I'm talking about a preacher, someone that would preach the Word of God and tell them, witness to them and be a soul winner and getting the gospel out. God wants us to be involved because He wants everybody to be saved. And so, for those that haven't had a clear plan of the gospel, what about them? What of those that are dying without ever hearing or seeing the Scriptures and seeing that Jesus died on a cross, shed His blood so that they might have eternal life? What of them? Do you see God's providential hand moving and preparing so that we might be helped, be used of God in reaching those people? We must see the providence of God. We must see that if God would be to raise a missionary or a servant to serve Him tonight. But not only that, we see in verse number 7 and 8. We see verse number 8. He says, be not afraid of their faces. Verse number 19, the first part of that verse, the Bible says, and they shall fight against thee. This was talking about the people that God had prepared Jeremiah to go preach to. He had prepared Jeremiah to go and to preach the gospel to people that made faces at him. Mad faces. You can't imagine that anybody would make mad faces at a preacher for preaching the gospel. That doesn't happen nowadays, does it? No, everybody wants to hear. He said, you're going to these people and they don't want to hear, but they need to hear. And you're going to a people that are going to fight against you, but they still need to hear. Many times we're fearful and we don't have a desire to preach God's Word and to witness to people because of a fear in our heart. Jeremiah says, hey, you need to see those people. And you need to see their need. Not only has God been providentially preparing you, but He's been providentially preparing these people. Yes, they have a hard face. Yes, they will fight against that. But God's Word is more powerful. And if someone will tell them, they can be saved. They will turn to Christ. Because these many people that have the hard face, that are fighting against God, will come to the point where they realize it's a losing battle. You can't fight against God. Saul of Tarsus. Jesus said, why are you kicking against the pricks? Have you ever kicked against thorns? Have you ever ran barefoot through a sand burr patch? Have you ever run and done, do you like doing that? I remember when I was a kid, when I was little, we lived in the country, and there were certain patches of our yard that we learned what areas and what parts were those were growing in. But sometimes we would go through there, and as we ran through a lot and we went barefoot a lot, we would go through and we would say, and a little bit of pricks, but it didn't really hurt too bad. But man, I don't dare do that now. I haven't gone barefoot in I don't know how long, but if you kick against those pricks, man, it hurts. But you know, there's a lot of people that are doing that with God. They're kicking against the pricks, saying, no, I don't want to. No, I don't like that. No, I want to go my own way. I want to do my own thing. And they're kicking against the pricks. But sometime, they're going to get tired of that. They're going to realize, hey, this hurts. This isn't good. I need to turn from this way. And God has made it like that so that they might wake up and say, hey, God's trying to help me. If nobody else cares, God cares, because God sees what's awaiting me if I continue down that path. And many times we say, oh, look at their hard face. Oh, look at their lives. Look at what they're doing. Look at what they're saying. They don't want to hear. They hollered at me. They shut the door in my face. But they need to hear. And they need to know that somebody loves them. And they need to see somebody that God has changed, that God has transformed. The message that we shared with you tonight in video, and the Lord put it on my heart just to share some testimonies of people that the Lord has transformed. And it was the idea behind it was for you to see, hey, there were some people that were good people, moral people. There were some people there that, you know, were really in some hard times, really going through some struggles in life, really, you know, and had some major issues. The Lord saved them out of that. And He began to teach them. And He began to transform them. And He's using them now to help reach others. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants that in each of our lives. God wants to prepare us. God wants to strengthen us so that we might go out and reach others. And that's what we need to see. We need to see God's providence. We need to see those people. If I was to ask you tonight, how many of you here tonight have someone that you know that's not saved, that you would really like to see get saved? You know, we have family, friends, neighbors, people like that. You know, people that we know, they need somebody to tell them. You know, sometimes you've preached to them and you've talked to them. You say, man, I sure would wish that someone else could go by, or someone else would reach them, or someone else would go. And our desire is that they might be saved. But what if nobody goes? What if there were people that could go? You say, well, I just don't have time. Just can't. You know, I'm busy. Got my activities and my hobbies and other things. And I just can't go. I'm sorry. You know, we need to understand that those people that are dear to us, each human being, each person around this world that needs Christ, they're somebody's father or mother or son or daughter. And somebody needs to go and reach them. Somebody, we must see the people. Those Jews that were in Judah, they were more receptive than Israel. They weren't as ungodly as those in Israel, but they were still pagan. They still rejected God. It's not an easy task to take the gospel to a hardened people. But they need to hear. They need to hear. When we see those people, as Jeremiah said in Lamentations 3:51, he said, mine eye hath affected my heart. You know, after years of seeing those people hardened and bitter and rejecting God, it just brought him to tears, broke his heart to see them lost without Christ, lost without a Savior. We need to see the people. We need to see our own potential. Verse number 9. Jeremiah's complaint was, he said, I'm a child. I can't speak. And God said, don't say I can't speak. What did God do? When Jeremiah surrendered and said, okay, Lord, if you say don't say that, then okay, I'll listen to you and all that. And look what God, when he surrendered to God, in verse number 9, it says, then the Lord put forth his hand. How big is God's hand? God put forth his hand. and He touched my lips. He touched my mouth. And He put His word in my mouth. You know what? That's all that was needed. You don't have to have the words to say. You don't have to have all the things that man says you have to have. And you can give all the excuses you want. Well, I'm just not like, it's not my personality. Well, they just have never brought me up. And we can have a whole thing of excuses. But when we surrender to God and say, yes, Lord, okay, I'm willing, then God can put His big hand on our mouth. And His word in our mouth. And God is just looking for some willing vessels. Some instruments that He could use to touch lives around us. Our potential is not really what we can do, but what God can do through us. When we see our potential through Christ, when we see our potential with God, speech was no longer a problem for Jeremiah. He was just like any preacher today. You ever seen a preacher short for words? Yeah, that's it. Not a normal thing. He said, hey, the Lord put His word in my mouth and He used me. And He reached those people. Verse number 19. I want you to look just at this last thing as we finish up tonight. Verse number 19. It says in the Jews, it says, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. As we look to the Lord and the Lord begins to use us and we have opposition. You know, when we serve the Lord, there's going to be opposition. There's going to be battles. There's going to be hardships. But the Lord said, they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. You know what? The Lord gives us His promises. That we might be able to just keep going. Just keep serving Him. Just keep obeying His word. Just keep preaching the gospel. Just keep reaching out. You know what? When we see that God is faithful, when we see that God has prepared these people to hear, when we see that God has prepared us to go, what's there to stop? What's there to stop us? But just simply like Isaiah said, here am I, send me, Lord. If You're calling, I'm willing to go. What would it take for God to raise up a missionary tonight? Would God say, okay, I'm preparing you. I'm preparing you to go. God's providential hand. And these are the people that I want you to go to. This is the potential that you have. My word. My power, my filling. And this is the promise that you have, that I'll be with you. And they won't prevail against you, but I will deliver you. That's what we need. We need some people with a faith like that, that God might raise a missionary. God might raise a servant. God might raise a pastor. God might raise up some bus workers or Sunday school teachers or Christians that would be willing to commit and say, hey, I've been lax. I've been not been willing to set some things aside, but there's a need and I see it and I see my responsibility. And with God's strength and with God's help, I'm going to be committed to that. That's what we need. Our generation desperately needs it. The youth desperately need it. Our churches desperately need that. The life of the church is in getting the gospel out. The new birth, the new believers. That's the life of the church. We've got to go out and reach them. They won't come in. We've got to get out. Around the world, the Great Commission, the Bible tells us to go to the ends of the earth. We can never fulfill that. If God doesn't raise up missionaries out of here, where's He going to raise them up out of? Where's He going to get them from? What would it take for God to raise up a missionary tonight? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Tonight we see what God did in the life of Jeremiah. We see how God worked in him. We see how that God directed him. And as tonight, as we come into the time of invitation, maybe there's someone here that God's been preparing you and God's been working on you because you need to be saved tonight. Maybe you're here tonight and there's never been a time when you've trusted Christ as your personal Savior. I'd like to encourage you tonight. God loves you. Jesus Christ died and shed His blood for you. He'll save you tonight if you'll trust Him. Is there one here tonight that would say, "Brother Weston, I wish you'd pray for me. I'm not saved. I don't have Jesus Christ in my heart." With nobody looking around, you'd raise your hand and say, "The Lord's spoke to my heart. Would you pray for me?" Anyone like that? "I'm not saved. I don't know Jesus Christ as my Savior. I wish you'd pray for me." A young boy, "I'll pray for you." Anyone else? "The Lord's touched my heart. I don't know for sure that if I died today that I would go to heaven. Pray for me." Christian, tonight, is the Lord working on your heart about surrender? Do you see God's hand working in your life? Have you had some things in your life where you just say, "I know God's been working in my life. I know God's been rearranging. God's been changing. God's been doing some things in my life. I can see God at work. I can see the people. The Lord's burdened my heart for a people. The Lord's burdened my heart. I've seen my potential that I can't, but God can in me. And I see God's promise." Maybe one here tonight that would say, "Brother Weston, I wish that you'd pray for me. I feel that God's working in my heart. This isn't a commitment. This isn't something that I'm going to say, 'Okay, you're a missionary.' No, I'll pray with you that God will reveal that to you tonight." Is there one that would raise your hand and say, "Brother Weston, pray for me"? God bless you. Amen. God bless you. God is a place. God is a people. God's calling servants. Maybe it's not to the mission field. Maybe it's just some other areas in your life. Say, "You know, maybe it's some commitment here at my church. And the Lord's been dealing with me about some things. And I can see that. I can see the providence of God working and preparing. And I feel God working in my heart." Say, "Brother Weston, I wish you'd pray with me about that. That the Lord would help me and clarify that in my heart." Is anyone like that? Listen, pray with me. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this evening. Thank You for Your Word. Lord, we pray that we would be obedient to Your voice. Lord, I'm not looking for numbers. I'm not looking for men to just come forward and do things just to appear before man. But Lord, we want Your will to be done. Lord, if You're dealing in hearts, if there's someone here that's not saved, God, I pray that they would come and trust Christ tonight. If there's one here that, Lord, You're dealing with about service, about being a missionary, about serving in the church, about surrendering their life to whatever Your will would be, Lord, I pray that You would just give clarity to them. Lord, help them to hear Your voice and be obedient. Have Your will and way in each heart tonight. We ask this in Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed as the piano plays tonight. Mm-hmm.